Open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 1. Let's stand together. And verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. I want to speak to you this morning on blessing for blessing. I want to draw your attention back to verse number 3, where it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, maybe it's just me, but I noticed when I read this verse that my attention immediately skipped to the second blessed. He hath blessed us. And got to thinking about how God has blessed me, and I'm excited about how God has blessed me. But that is the second blessing in the verse. The first one is, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we tend to skip over that part as though it's some kind of pious filler to the verse, instead of realizing that we have an obligation also to bless our God, the God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's how the Apostle Paul begins the verse. He was saying, we bless the Lord and God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we bless Him because He blessed us, just as we love Him because He first loved us. In Deuteronomy 8 verse 10 it says, When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee. One of the differences between Christians and Jews is the way we give blessing for our meals. We always pray before we eat. Amen? We call it saying grace. We're giving thanks for the meal we're about to receive, whether it's good or not. While the Jewish people give their thanks when the meal is over, based on that verse that when thou hast eaten and art full, thou shalt bless the Lord thy God. But I've had a few meals that I don't know that I would have been very blessed worthy. But we're to bless the Lord when we have eaten and are full. Listen to what David said throughout the Psalms. He said, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. He said, In the congregations will I bless the Lord. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. He said, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. He said, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. And he said in Psalm 115, But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. So when we talk about blessing God, it's not some pious sounding platitude, but something that we should mean from the heart. Blessed be God. Bless the Lord my God. And I am to actively seek to bless Him as He has blessed me. We who have enjoyed all spiritual blessings in Christ should return blessing for blessing. We should bless God today and every day, all the way until the day we go to see Jesus, and then we can bless Him forever. But blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to consider a few thoughts this morning on our obligation to bless God. Notice first the manner in which we bless God. The manner in which we bless God. Now, let's think about this. How can I bless God? Well, it's important to understand this theological truth, folks, that God does not need anything from us. God is entirely self-sufficient, self-existent. He does not need my offering. He does not need me to provide food for Him. He does not need me to give Him anything. I can add to Him nothing to what He already is. That's why He said in Psalm 50 that every beast of the forest is mine and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. So everything on this earth, over the earth, under the earth, the fullness of it, all belongs to God. What do I have that I could give Him? He has it all. And so God does not need anything from us, and yet I am to bless the Lord. Now, I cannot bless God in the same way that He blesses me. When God blesses me, He gives me something that I could never gain on my own. Amen? Something I would not have apart from His gift of grace. Now, what can I give to Him when everything belongs to Him? Well, there's one thing that God has given me that I can give Him or withhold from Him. And that is my free will. I have the freedom to choose. God built that into us. God gave us freedom of choice. You think about Adam way back in the Garden of Eden. Everything Adam had came from God. The earth was God's. The garden, God planted that garden for Adam. God gave him his wife. God gave him the breath he breathed. God gave him his soul. God gave him the fruit of the trees of the garden. Everything that Adam had came from God. And the one thing Adam had that God gave him that was his to give back was his own will. Don't eat of that tree. You can have everything else, but don't eat of that one tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can exercise your will in obedience to me. And what did Adam do? He exercised his will in disobedience to God and sinned by taking that which was not his to take. How can I bless the Lord? I can bless Him with my free will. I choose to believe in God. Amen. I choose to worship God. I choose to honor God. I choose to give Him my tithes and offerings. I choose to serve Him. I choose to obey Him. All of these are an act of will. I choose to be here this morning. I choose to sing. I choose to give. I choose to serve. I choose to obey. I choose to reject temptation in favor of obedience to God. When I do all of those things, I am honoring God and worshiping God, but I'm also blessing God because I'm giving Him that which I have, which is my free will. That's why in 1 Samuel 15, Samuel told Saul, "Hath the Lord His great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams." Now here's King Saul, 7 foot tall Saul, head and shoulders above all the men of Israel. He has a freedom to choose and a freedom to do what he's supposed to do. And instead, he's constantly doing what he shouldn't be doing. Then he wants to come over here and offer an animal sacrifice as though that makes up for the fact that he is choosing constantly to do the wrong thing. And Samuel says, "Hey, listen, Saul, God would rather have you obey His word and do what He says and by your free will choose to obey Him than to lay another bullock upon an offering or another goat upon an offering. He wants you to choose to do what is right. That's better than sacrifice." Now, what are some ways in which we can bless God, actively bless the Lord? Number one, we can praise God for who He is. Praise God for who He is. Paul said, "Blessed be the God." Folks, there's only one God. All the other gods, little g gods, are fake gods. They're not real. They don't exist. You can't offend them. They don't have feelings to offend. They don't have power to hurt you. They don't have power to save you. They don't have power to do anything for you or against you. They don't exist. There's only one true and living God, and that's the God of the Bible. And blessed be He, blessed be the God, blessed be the one Creator that put all this in place and designed all of this by His omniscience and put it all out there by His own power. And it is all within His own presence because He's omnipresent. It is that God that we praise and that we love. But He's not just the God, He's also the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, we would not understand the Father. Now, folks, I may not entirely understand the triune nature of God, the Trinity, but I accept it by faith. Because that is how God has chosen to reveal Himself to us as Father, Son, and Spirit. And it is through the Son, through the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can see the Father, that we can approach the Father. It is the Father that sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And we ought to praise God for who He is. When I say amen to these verities, I'm blessing God. Secondly, I can thank Him for what He's done. Now that's the difference between praise and thanks. I praise God for who He is. I thank Him for what He's done. To be thankful is a choice and an act of will. That's why when someone is ungrateful, they are choosing not to express their gratitude. Am I right? When someone is grateful, they are choosing to express gratitude. And it's important for us to stop and actually express our gratitude to God. Have I given Him thanks for all that He has done for me? How else can I bless God? By spreading His kingdom. I believe it pleases God when we push forward the gospel for another generation. When we care about souls and we try to win people to Christ, we support missionaries and try to bring the kids in on our bus and invite folks to church or share the gospel with them through a gospel track, it is a blessing to God to see His children active in carrying forth the message of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe God is displeased when we don't care about souls and when we don't share the gospel and we're not interested in spreading His kingdom and spreading His word. Hey folks, what did Jesus say twice? There's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now you think about that, in the presence of the angels. We always think of the angels rejoicing, but the Bible says the angels don't even understand the gospel. They can't quite make sense of it. You know who's rejoicing in the presence of the angels? God is. And the saved are. Amen? And when a sinner gets saved, when a sinner repents toward God and puts their faith in Jesus Christ, it is a blessing to the Father. It pleases the Father. And you and I should be actively involved in spreading His kingdom to bless our God. Well, I believe I can bless God by standing for truth in an ungodly age. In Psalm 97, it says, "Ye that love the Lord hate evil." Some people hate, they love evil and they hate the Lord. We're to love the Lord and therefore hate evil. In Ezekiel 22, God said, "I sought for a man among them that he should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." Can you imagine God looking through Israel among all of His people, His covenant people, looking for one man that'll just stand in the gap and make up the hedge and be a defense against the forces of the devil and the forces of evil, and couldn't find one man that would stand there and stand for truth and stand for God and stand for right? God is blessed, He is pleased when Christians take a stand for righteousness, for goodness, for holiness in a world that is profane and ungodly and wicked. In Philippians 2, the Bible says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. So all of us folks, we have the choice. I can try to blend in with a crooked and perverse nation. That's what a lot of Christians do. They're secret agent Christians, except Sunday mornings. Or I can step forth and stand for God. And I believe that God is pleased and He is blessed when He sees His people taking a stand in an evil time. That's why when God looked down on the earth and He saw Noah, it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah pleased the Lord. Noah was a blessing to God in a world that had turned their backs on Him to follow sin. Standing for good in God is a blessing to God. Number five, I can bless God by doing good to His children. Galatians 6:10, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." To actively do good to help others is one way in which we bless God. Folks, as a father, it pleases me when I see my kids wanting to be a blessing to others. It does. It pleases me. I think I'd be displeased to see them living selfish, self-absorbed, narcissistic lives. And when we are actively involved in doing good to others, and especially to those who are of the household of faith, it is a blessing to God. That's why in Matthew 25, Jesus says, "The king shall say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me." That's a great principle, folks. When I do good to one of the least Little Oliver, because his dad's Big Oliver. His granddad is Biggest Oliver. When I do good to him, because he's of the household of faith, Jesus said it's like I've did it to him. That's a blessing to him. So we need to consider, are we treating others in a way that is a pleasure to God to see? I can bless God by choosing to love Him, to worship Him, to honor Him, to serve Him, and to obey Him. All of these are choices, folks. No one has made these choices for me. Very important. So you're a preacher. You have to be here. I'm a preacher because a long time ago I chose to be here. And I do choose to be here. I could call in sick. I don't know what y'all would do. I choose to serve the Lord. I made that choice a long time ago. 27, 28 years ago. And I'm still serving God, and it's an act of my will. It is a decision that I make to serve God, to worship Him, to love Him, to honor Him, to give to Him, to witness for Him, to be involved in His work and stay in His will. All of that is a choice. I could this afternoon choose to leave the will of God and walk away. So could you. But I choose not to, and so should you. We choose to love God. We choose to worship Him. I read this statement today by an old Greek philosopher. I told the teenagers, when I give them these quotes, it's always some old Greek guy. But this is an ancient quote, but it says, "Nothing is noble if it is done unwillingly or under compulsion. Every noble deed is voluntary." Every noble deed is voluntary. You see, children have to be compelled. We as parents are to train them up in the way they should go, whether they want to or not. When they are children, they're to do what their parents tell them to do. You don't get to choose whether you brush your teeth or not. Because after a couple of days, we're going to be demanding that you defungicize your teeth. You don't get to decide if you go to school. You don't get to decide if you go to church. As long as you're a kid in our household, you are going to do what we say you're supposed to do. What are you going to do when you're not in my household? You see, when you are made to go to church because your parents make you go to church, there's nothing noble about that. When you have the freedom to not go and you go anyway because you want to, there's nobility in that choice. That is when you're actively choosing to serve God. And you say, I can't serve God until then. All I know is this. A lot of teenagers, they go because they're made to, and as soon as they're not made to anymore, they don't go to church anymore. It's important for us to decide. I choose to love God. Folks, my parents didn't take me to church. I took my parents to church. They came with me. I didn't go with them. I went because I wanted to, because I wanted to learn the Bible and I wanted to love God and worship God. But there was a choice that was made, and all of us are called upon to honor and bless God by the choices we make, by choosing to do the right thing, not just being compelled to do the right thing. Number two, notice the motivation behind my desire to bless God. Verse 3 says, "Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Before we bless Him, He blessed us. Because in Jesus Christ, I have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, we need to mark the difference between temporal and spiritual blessings. Temporal are tied to this earth, and therefore are temporary. You know, and we all have those, and we should be grateful for them. I like the house I live in, and the truck that I drive, and I like the things that I have, and I get to enjoy. Those are all temporal blessings, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be thankful. But the spiritual blessings we have in Christ are our greatest heritage. They're our greatest inheritance in Christ. You know, a new heart is better than a new car. A home in heaven is better than an earthly home. And the blessings of redemption, forgiveness, atonement, reconciliation, adoption, justification, and sanctification in Christ, all of these are the greatest blessings of all. To know that I am saved and forgiven, that my sins are covered and atoned for, that I have a reconciliation with God, that God is not angry with me, that I'm not at enmity with God, that hell is not my eternity, that I'm going to heaven when I die, that I stand justified before God because I'm in Jesus Christ. These are the great spiritual blessings that I have in Christ. And no downturn in the economy or layoff or home burning down or floods or whatever. None of those things can change the spiritual blessings that I already have in Jesus Christ. And to have a new heart, a tender conscience, a new hope, a life of faith, the fruit of the Spirit, new purpose in life, assurance about eternity, folks, those are the things that matter most. Verse 4 says, according as He hath chosen us in Him, before the foundation of the world, aren't you glad? He chose us instead of rejecting us. He had every right to reject us as sinners, and yet, even though He knew we were sinners before the foundation of the world, He made a choice to choose us, to make a way for us to be saved in Christ. He goes on to say that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Folks, predestinate is not a scary word. God did foreknow and God predestined the plan and path of salvation. God predestined that Jesus Christ would come to this earth, that He'd die for our sins, be buried, and rise again the third day. God predestined that salvation would be by grace through faith and not of works. And God predestined that those who would believe in Jesus Christ would be saved and saved forever. Okay, this God wasn't making it up as He went. He had a plan from the beginning. Doesn't mean God chose your salvation. It means He chose the way that we would be saved. And I thank God for that. He chose us. He made us accepted in Christ. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Thank God for His grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Only those who have experienced God's spiritual blessings in Christ will truly bless the Father. When you have full assurance that you are saved and secure and have an unchanging position in Christ, an unchangeable position in Christ, you should bless God. He has blessed us. Therefore, we bless Him. Charles Spurgeon said this, if you think little of what God has done for you, you will do little for Him. If I think little of what God has done for me, I will do little for Him. And when we think His blessings are small, we're going to bless Him back with a small measure. When we consider how great His blessings are to us, we're just going to keep blessing Him the rest of our life and know we're never going to catch up to the blessings He has given to us. The motivation behind my desire to bless God is appreciation for the blessings He has given me in Christ. Notice thirdly the magnification of God's mercy, grace, and glory. Notice again in verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Notice in verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Verse 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Are you seeing a theme there? The glory is not ours, the glory is His. Notice in chapter 3 and verse 21. Chapter 3, verse 21. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So who gets the glory? God gets the glory. Who gets the blessing? We get the blessings, but He is the one who gets the blessings back. He's the one who originates all the blessings. He should get the glory of His grace, the praise of His glory. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without Him. We don't magnify ourselves. We're just dirty, rotten sinners who are lost and on our way to hell if God had not saved us. What is there to magnify about ourselves? We don't magnify our good works. If I took all my good works apart from Christ and I magnified them, all you're going to see is the dirt attached to them because all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in His sight. I want to magnify myself. I don't want to magnify my good works. No, sir, I want to magnify His grace. I want to magnify His Son. I want to magnify my God. I want to magnify His salvation. And frankly, too much of us, we love to talk about ourselves. Boy, just all about ourselves all the time, like we're the most important person. We ought to cut that out and talk more about Him. There's not that much to say about ourselves. At least not that much that's interesting or praiseworthy. But man, if we'd stop and just praise Him, because He's all done a lot more for us than we've done for Him. Thank God for Him. You see, folks, when I maximize self, I minimize God. When I maximize God, I minimize myself. And that's how it ought to be. We should divert the glory to Him. Folks, if you could stop this morning and take a trip to heaven, and wouldn't you like to? Amen. The only problem is you wouldn't want to come back. Go to heaven and you do a man on the street interview. Y'all have seen those. Some guy walks around with a microphone and stops some guy walking by and asks him a question like, who's the vice president? Who is the first president of the United States? Eisenhower? And stop, folks, and just ask them questions. If you could stop someone in heaven and say, how did you get here? You know, not one person is going to brag on himself or herself. Not one person will say, well, you know, I was a really good person. Or I joined the right church. I got baptized. I got baptized in the Jordan River. Isn't that special? I gave a lot of money. You see, that's why the Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Every person in heaven, you can read about it in Revelation 7 and Revelation 14, folks that are in heaven. And they say, glory to the Lamb, glory to God. He's washed us. We're washed in the blood of the Lamb. We're saved by grace through faith. Our sins were forgiven because of Christ and what He did for us. He has given us all spiritual blessings in Christ, and none of this is of ourselves. Folks, I wonder if someone really is saved if they don't realize that without Christ they are lost forever. We sure get proud of ourselves. I guess in life we get a participation trophy. I think, man, we're something. I'd say something, we're nothing. We're nothing apart from Christ except sinners and hell deserving and lost. Folks don't like to hear that today. Maybe that's why we're not seeing as many real conversions. We're not getting really lost so we can get really saved. But those of us who say we are saved, we should understand that we need to magnify His glory and His grace and not ourselves. We need to minimize ourselves and maximize His glory. All of God's spiritual gifts are available to us this morning, but they're all found in one place, and that is in the person of Jesus Christ. God calls us in Christ. He saves us in Christ. He justifies us in Christ. He sanctifies us in Christ. He forgives us in Christ. Everything is in Christ, and without Christ, we have nothing of spiritual value. My pastor was a pastor in Baton Rouge. He's retired now, but when he was in Baton Rouge, there was a man around the corner. He just kept witnessing to him for several years. I'm sorry, let me back. That's a different illustration. I'm confused too. There was a millionaire that he was trying to witness to. And the millionaire had a real big fancy house and nice cars. And Brother Smith was trying to witness to him. And the millionaire said, listen, I'm rich. I don't need anything. And Brother Smith said, yeah, but how are you? How's your financial standing with God? And the man said, well, I'm bankrupt there. Folks, to have all the wealth of this world and be bankrupt with God is to be the greatest loser in the end. We need Christ, and without Him we have nothing. How can we bless God when we've not experienced the blessing of His salvation? And if we are saved, are you blessing God with the one thing you have to give, your free will? Are you choosing to worship Him? Are you choosing to honor Him with your tithes and offerings? Are you choosing to worship Him consistently? Are you choosing to obey Him? Are you choosing to do what's right? If no one brought you today, would you try to get a ride to come? If no one forced you to come, would you come anyway? Is there nobility when I am being compelled? Or do I choose to serve the Lord? Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. God is blessed when we choose to exalt and extol and honor Him. We will never bless Him as much as He deserves to be blessed. But let us not bless Him with less than what He expects from us as His people.